For our Bible reading this morning, we're in Exodus chapter 20. We've been studying the Ten Commandments the last several weeks, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse number 7. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 7. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving to us very clearly the instructions of the Ten Commandments and for giving us direction for our lives through them. We pray that you'll help us to allow those principles to be built into our lives, that we would live godly lives and be pleasing to you in every area of our life. And today, as we come to that third commandment, to not take the name of the Lord our God in vain, would you help us to be careful how we use that precious name, that name that's above every name. And I pray that you will cause us to put a guard on our tongue. And may we lift up and magnify and glorify the name of Jesus and the name of our God. And may we never use it profanely or in an inappropriate way. Help us to apply your word to our lives today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Kristen, and thank you, Jessica, for that good song this morning. We are looking today at the third command in the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave to us. We've been looking at these for the last several weeks. And this morning, verse number 7 says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I want to speak to you on the subject, what's in a name? Two of the Ten Commandments have to do with sins of speech. This commandment, the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then the ninth commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, or thou shalt not lie, if we want to shorten it, abbreviate it. One of God's most beautiful gifts that he's given to us as mankind is the ability to speak. Now, for some of you, you might say, well, we haven't used that ability very well. Others have developed it maybe too well. But it is a gift that God's given to us to be able to communicate and to speak. Among many things, it's one of the things that distinguishes man from animals. How many of you agree with me that man is different from animals? Amen? We're different, despite what the human rights and the animal lovers say, and I love animals. I love fried chicken, and I love pork chops and hamburgers. But there's a difference in us and animals, and one of those is that we can speak. We can talk to each other. God's given to us the ability to express ourselves in marvelous ways and through the words that we use and the tones and all that go along with it. Isn't it a tragedy that man sometimes takes this wonderful gift of speech that God has given to us and misuses that gift? To misuse that gift, for instance, to curse other men. In James chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible speaks about the tongue and it says, Therewith curse we men. What a sad thing when people will take the gift that God has given us and use that gift of speech to curse other people. An even sadder thing is for someone to take the beautiful gift of language that God has given to us and abuse or misuse the name of God Himself. Our Lord in the model prayer taught us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about that third command. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now as we've been talking about these Ten Commandments, we've been talking about the family. And God wants our families to be successful. Amen. He wants you to succeed in your family. The bottom line of all the commandments is this: God loves us. God loves us. His commandments are not rules that He gave to us to try to make us squirm like a worm in hot ashes or to try to keep us from enjoying life. These laws that He gave are good for us and they are therefore our own welfare. Every time God says, "Thou shalt not," what He's saying is, don't hurt yourself. And when God says, "Thou shalt," He's saying, help yourself to happiness. I want you to enjoy life. If God says to us that if He says, don't do the negative, then He infers by that there is a positive. When He says to us, do the positive, He infers that there is a negative. And so when God says to us, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," then He implies to us that He wants us to use His name in the proper way and in the right way. So I want to look at a couple of things this morning as we have time. First of all, I want you to notice the definition of God's name. The definition. If I were to take time, we could go through a whole list of names of God that are given in Scripture, and we've done a series of messages on that in the past. But in the Bible, sometimes names are used for particular reasons. A name sometimes is used to identify character. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Nabal. How many of you remember Nabal? Remember, he was the guy when David's men came and asked him for supplies and food and so forth. He basically mocked him and made fun of him. David's men had helped to protect his men while they were out in the wild, so to speak. And this man wouldn't give him anything. And when David got word, David was ready to gather up his army and go destroy the man. But the man's wife heard about what happened, and she came and brought supplies and begged for David's forgiveness. The name Nabal means foolish. And Nabal was a foolish man. Names sometimes indicate character, or the lack of character in a person's life. Sometimes parents give names to their children in an expression of hope or adoration. By giving them a certain name, they indicate that they have great ambitions for that child. Sometimes names were given in the Bible days during difficult circumstances, or sometimes even during great circumstances. When Benjamin was born, his father Jacob named him Benjamin, and that meant the son of my right hand. There was a special occasion for that name. So names speak about character. Names speak about reputation. The name of God and the names of God always had to be revealed. You see, man cannot comprehend everything about God on his own. So God gave us a whole list of names that help us to understand Him. He is revealing Himself to us. And in the revelation of God's name, we have, first of all, a definition of His character. You see, the name of God tells us what kind of God He is. The name of God tells us about the character of God. The Bible has a great deal to say about the name of God. In Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." He has an excellent name, doesn't he? Psalm 111, verse 9 says, "Holy and reverend is his name." Proverbs 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." So the name of God is profoundly sacred. The Orthodox Jew, when he was talking, would not in normal conversation use the name of God. They would not pronounce some of the names of God. In fact, when the scribes were writing copies of the Holy Scriptures, When they came to the name of God, they would lay their pen down, rise and go bathe themselves, change to clean, fresh clothing, then come back and pick up that pen that had never been used before. They would pick a different pen. And with a brand new pen, they would write down the holy name of God. And some names they would not even write. Contrast that, the sacred way in which those scribes held the name of God. Contrast that to how people today will profane God's name and use his name as a swear word or use it flippantly. What a difference. As we think about the name of God, I want you to notice several things with me. First of all, there is personality in his name. There's personality in his name. The God we serve is not some abstract Star Wars type of power or impersonal force. He is a real person. That's why our verse in verse 7 says, "The Lord thy God." When the word Lord, if you look there at verse number 7, he says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." When the name Lord is written in all capital and small capital letters, but it's all capital all the way across it, you're reading a translation of the Hebrew word, either Jehovah or Yahweh. Those are two of the most personal names of God. He's saying to us, "I am Jehovah. I am a person. Let me introduce myself to you." You know, the interesting thing is, the only way we can really know God is for God to introduce himself to us. For him to manifest himself, for him to describe himself. By giving himself names, God is saying to you and me, "This is who I am. Learn my personality from my names. It tells what I am like." The name Jehovah speaks of the God who is a covenant keeper. In other words, it speaks of a God who has a personal relationship with his people, and he keeps his promises. He keeps his word. Let me ask you a question. Who would want a God who didn't keep his word? Or who didn't keep his promises? You know, there's all kinds of false gods, and we talked about the false gods earlier. "Thou shalt have no other gods," he said. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images." There are all kinds of gods in this world that the Bible says they have eyes that can't see, they have ears that can't hear, they have a mouth that can't speak. I'm glad we have a God who is somebody, amen? He can speak, he can talk to us, he can listen. He sees us. He's a wonderful, personal God who keeps his promises and keeps his word. There's personality in his name. Secondly, there is power in his name. There's power in his name. The Hebrew word Elohim is translated "thy God." He says in verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God." Those two words, "thy God," is the word Elohim. It speaks of a God who is a mighty one. He's a mighty God. He is an all-powerful God. It is also a plural word. Now, whenever the word, the name for God is plural, it reminds us of the Trinity, doesn't it? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. One God manifested in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the plural word also speaks of multiplicity of his strength and power. He is a mighty God. He is a powerful God. You put those two names together and you get a picture of the God who basically is saying to you and me, "Be careful how you use my name. I am the God who keeps his word, keeps his promise, and who has the power to keep his promise." One of the reasons God keeps his promise is because he's the mighty God. He can do it. How many of you have ever made a promise that you couldn't keep? God never did that. He's the mighty God. He has the power. He has the ability. He has the strength. He has the resources to keep his word. "I am Jehovah, your Elohim, the Lord, your God." And when he says that in verse 7, he says, "Don't take my name in vain. I have a powerful name." Remember when David came against Goliath? Goliath was defying the armies of the Philistines. And everybody else was afraid to go out and fight Goliath, this giant. And they would run and hide. But little David volunteered to go out against this giant Goliath. And David tried on the great armor of the king Saul. And it didn't fit him right. It was too big. He had to lay it aside. And he went out against Goliath with a sling and 5 smooth stones in his hand. And when the giant Goliath saw David coming down to fight him without an armor, with just a sling and 5 stones, it was an insult to this great warrior, and he became angry to have a young boy sent out against him with only a sling and 5 smooth stones. I want you to notice Goliath's reaction in 1 Samuel 17, verse 42 and 43 and 44. It says, "And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods," by the Philistine's gods. "And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now here's kind of a loose interpretation of what Goliath said to David. He looked at David and basically said to him, he said, "Sonny boy, when I get my hands on you, I'm going to break you in pieces and I'm going to feed you to the buzzards." That's about what he said. But I like what David said to Goliath. In verse 45 it says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee," notice this, "in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David said, "I come to you in the name, the powerful name, the mighty name of the living God." And then David took his sling and round and round and round, as the kids' chorus says, and one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down. The stone hits Goliath in the forehead, and Goliath was surprised. It was the first time anything like that had ever entered his mind. And he went down. And David, as you remember the story, took the sword out of the sheath of Goliath and cut off his head. And David goes back marching up the hill with the head of Goliath in his hand. Probably the greatest single victory in the history of warfare. Where did David, that young boy, get the power to accomplish that great feat? He got it in the name of the Lord of hosts. There is power in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." We're to do everything in the power of His name. That means we go to work in His name. That means, young people, we do our homework in His name. That means that we rear our children, dad and mom, in His name. You say, do we take that literally? Well, that's what the Bible says. God says, do everything in the name. That's how all-encompassing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is. There is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, there's protection in His name. There's protection. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Let me ask you a question this morning. Is the devil after you? Little boy one time got in trouble and his dad grabbed a hold of him and shook him and he said, "I think the devil's got a hold of you." And the little boy said, "I think he does too." Is the devil chasing you? Is the devil after you? He's after all of us. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. A powerful enemy, but God says we can run to the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Satan is chasing you, head for the name of Jesus. Take refuge in His name. I love that old song that says, "Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven." And then it goes on and says, "If temptation round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer." The name of Jesus, there's power in that name to defeat the enemy. There's protection in that name, the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we breathe His name in prayer, it's like running into a strong tower to find safety. And we find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you climb up a tower, you can see things from that vantage point that you can't see anywhere else, can't you? You can look out over the army. You can look out over the field. You can look out over the city. We come to the tower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can see things there that we can't see anywhere else because we have a wonderful perspective in a God who is powerful and in a God who gives us His protection so that we can have victory in our lives. And then fourthly, there's provision in His name. There's provision in His name. John 16, verses 23 and 24 says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." That means anything that you can sign Jesus' name to, you can have. Now, some people say, "Well, I'm going to pray God to give me a Cadillac or a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce." No, James kind of made that, straightened that out for us. He said, "Ye have not because ye ask not." And he said, "Ye ask and have not because ye ask it amiss to consume it upon your own lusts." I said, anything that you can sign Jesus' name to, the key is Jesus' name, not your name, not your desires and your dreams. But if the Lord Jesus wants you to have it, you can ask Him. And the Father said, "I'll do it. I'll give it to you." There is provision in the name of the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus." Now there's some context in that verse that gives some conditions to that verse. But if you and I are doing what we're supposed to with our finances and we're faithful in honoring God, God says, "I'll take care of you." That's why He said in the Gospels, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, full and running over." There's provision in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then there's something else in that name. There is praise in His name. There's praise. When you understand the personality and the power and the provision and the protection that is in the name of the Lord, you'll understand that there ought to be praise given in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What could be more appropriate for God's people than to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I read for you Psalm 8 and verse 1. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth." Psalm 34 and verse 3 says, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." That's what we were doing this morning as we sang. We were exalting His name together. Lifting up His name, praising His name. There's praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now there's a second thing I want to come to this morning very quickly, and that is how not to take His name. How not to take His name. We are not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. The Hebrew word for vain means meaningless or empty of content. Now it doesn't say your brain is empty. But when you use His name in the wrong way, you're acting like your brain is empty. Your words are empty. It has the root from the idea of a tempest or a storm. You see, the Hebrews used the word to describe a storm because to them a storm would oftentimes rise, come up with no rhyme or reason. They didn't know why the storm came. They didn't have all the prognosticators that we have today and forecasters and all of that. And once in a while they get it right, don't they? What other job in the world can you have and be wrong half of the time and still get paid for doing it, huh? But they didn't understand a lot of the things that we do today and weather patterns and so forth, and they just felt like a storm was something that had no rhyme or reason. It was erratic, it was worthless, it was a non-productive thing, and their word came to mean vain, careless, thoughtless. When we use God's name in vain, we're careless, we're thoughtless. Can you imagine anything more out of touch with the character of God than to use His name in vain? And the Bible says, "The one who does so incurs guilt. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless." Notice with me, first of all, the vanity of profanity. The vanity of profanity. Parents, teach your children to never use profanity. I thank the Lord that I was raised in a Christian home. I do not know of ever hearing God's name used in vain in my home growing up. Never. And let me just meddle a little bit while I'm there, because some of us who would never speak it or allow our children to speak it will allow other people to speak it on television in our home and bring it in that way. One of the most ignorant things a person can ever do is to profane the name of God. When you use God's name in profanity, it shows two things. Number one, it shows an empty head. And number two, a wicked heart. Profanity reveals a feeble mind that's trying to express itself. It also reveals a wicked heart truly expressing itself. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, he said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So when a person uses God's name in vain, God says it's coming from the heart. You ever hear somebody say something, they say, "Oh, I didn't really mean that." God says, "Oh, yes, you did. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." A profane mouth reveals a profane heart. Profanity, using the name of God in vain, it is an insult to Almighty God. It's like insulting God to His face. Many times we hear people use the name God, and then they'll use the word damn after it, damning another person. Even though Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed His blood to save people from being damned to hell for all of eternity. What a profane perversion of prayer it is to ask God to send anybody to hell, to ask God to damn anybody. There used to be a gospel tract, I think Fellowship Tract League printed it, and it said, "God's last name isn't damn." Amen. You may say, "Preacher, we've got this one down. We don't ever do that in our home. We don't talk like that. Our family doesn't use that kind of language." That's wonderful, and I hope that's true in your home. But let me ask you another question. Do you permit secondhand swearing in your family? You ever hear of secondhand smoke? There's secondhand swearing. I'm talking about words like darn and dang and gosh and gee whiz, geez. Gosh is just a substitute for the name of God. Jesus is a substitute for the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And darn is just simply a substitute for the word damn. We need to be careful about our speech. Don't even use secondhand swearing, or your kids might get the idea that profanity really isn't that bad after all. God said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." The vanity of profanity. Secondly, notice the vanity of frivolity. The vanity of frivolity. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Well, there's another way that we violate that third command. Not just in taking God's name in vain in a profane way, but this command is talking about using God's name carelessly or lightly. Many of us who wouldn't use profanity as we think of might use God's word carelessly and lightly, frivolously. Ephesians 5:3 says this. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you." You say, "Well, that's good, preacher. I'm not a fornicator and I don't have uncleanness, covetousness." But listen to the rest of the verse. God said, "Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither foolish talking nor jesting." What does Paul mean by foolish talking or jesting? It's all those little flippant phrases that we use from time to time that include the holy name of God. It always amazes me how carelessly sometimes good Christian people will say, "Oh God," or "Oh my God," or just the two words, "My God." I mean, if we really mean it, we're really talking to God, that's one thing. But if it's just a little offhanded remark, that's something else. That's taking God's name in vain. Teach your children to never use God's name in vain, not to use God's name unless they're serious about it. I'll be honest with you. I've even heard preachers use God's name flippantly. When I was a kid growing up, I guess I was probably in my teenage years, my dad had a revival meeting, had an evangelist come. If I called his name, some of you would know him. Dad would never have him come back to our church again because of the way he sometimes used the phrase, my God or oh my God, in his messages. How do you use that phrase? Be careful that we use it in the right way. And then there's the vanity of hypocrisy. The vanity of hypocrisy. I do not believe there's anything that turns young people off to Christianity and towards God more than hypocrisy in the home. When mom and dad do not live what they profess to believe, doesn't matter how active you may be in church, if you do not live it when you go home, that is the vanity of hypocrisy. And kids see through that. God said in Isaiah 48 and verse 1, he said, Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. God says, here's some people, they use his name, they talk about him, but they don't live it. Not in righteousness. What a picture of hypocrisy. People that mention the name of God, but don't live it. That's why so many teenagers say, well, I'm sick and tired of church. My dad and mom go there. And my parents, they teach a Sunday school class. They lead in prayer. They help receive the offering. They sing in the choir. But at home, they're phonies. That's taking the name of the Lord in hypocrisy. Now, I'm sure there's none of you here today that do that. That's all the ones that aren't here today, right? Listen to what the Lord said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? You notice how God says three times, in thy name, in thy name, in thy name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is God trying to say to us? He's trying to say to us, if you're going to live for God, do it all the time. Live for God in your home. Live for God on the job. Live for God in your neighborhood. And when you take the name of Jesus on your lips, do not use that wonderful name in hypocrisy. Let your children know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love God. You pray in the name of Jesus. Do you forge his name at the end of your prayer? If we do, that's a hypocritical prayer. When you praise God, do you praise God with all of your heart? Did you know sometimes we even sing our hypocrisy when we come to church? We sing, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. We sing that, and yet we harbor unconfessed sin in our life. We're not willing to resign our sin. We sing, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. And yet we hold on to our money with all of our might and refuse to tithe or give to the work of God. We sing, faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. And then we think nothing of skipping church for all kinds of excuses that we have on our lips. We sing, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. If you don't mean that when you sing it, you're not much different from the person who curses and swears and uses God's name as profanity. Now notice the end of our verse. He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God says, the Lord will not hold him guiltless. One day you and I are going to stand before an almighty God. Have you ever said something about somebody and they confronted you and you thought, oh, I wish I'd have never said that? Someday we're going to stand before God and we're going to think, God, I wish I'd have never said that. I wish I'd have kept that in my mouth. I wish I hadn't have said that. God will not hold him guiltless. The matchless name, the name that's above every name, there's personality in that name. There's power in that name. There's protection in that name. There's provision in that name. There's praise in that name. We're to lift up and magnify the name of God. Do not have the vanity of profanity. The vanity of frivolity, flippantly, loosely using my God and oh God. The vanity of hypocrisy, saying one thing on Sunday and living something else on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Is God real in your life? Is He real? Do you reverence His holy? God says He'll not hold us guiltless if we do not. Father, we thank You for the name that is above every name. That name that those dear precious scribes in the Old Testament, when they came to writing it as they were copying the Word of God, would lay down their pen and go bathe and change clothes and come back and get a new pen and write the name of God because it's so sacred and holy to them. That name that's all-powerful. That name that is so precious. Would You help us that we'll use it in a way that will bring honor and glory to You. That we'll not profane the name with our words or our attitudes or even our lifestyle. May every one of us here have that name on our lips in the sense that we've put our faith and trust in You. We acknowledge You as our God, as our Lord, as our Master. We give our life to You, to live for You, to serve You. I pray that You'll help us to honor You and lift up and magnify Your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.